Blog Talk Radio.
That's your song. That's why I didn't tell you I was playing it.
Corey knows how to get me going.
Right. I had to give her that adrenaline rush.
Yes. Yes, yes. I needed that adrenaline rush.
And you want men to be on, we took our women to be afraid.
Oh, yeah. It would be awesome once they kick in. And maybe my feet are cold.
Yeah, they just kicked in, I say. You ran all that right together.
I need some socks. I don't have any socks in here.
And it's hot here today, so...
It is cold, overcast, it's gloomy, it's gray, it's kind of wet, it's kind of nasty.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Ginger.
Me too. I wanted some pretty weather or something, but no. This is the reason why I sound so ridiculous back and forth and coughing and hacking and everything. It's because the weather is beautiful one day and then nasty and crappy the next.
Yeah, tomorrow we're supposed to get all the horrible, horrible, horrible weather.
Well, you've got a hurricane season coming up, don't you?
Yes, I'm looking forward to
it. Oh, GLaDOS, you get up off my quarry.
That might not be GLaDOS. That might just be my throat because of the weather.
No, that was GLaDOS.
She had me? Oh, you know how she likes me. You know how she loves me.
She was loving all up on you, not like, no.
You know how we do. Hi, GLaDOS. What's up, girl? How you doing? How you doing, GLaDOS? Oh, God. So I had found some screenshots for you guys from Medal of Honor. However, they are, like, huge. Y'all know how they are. EA, all of y'all, I know we all have supercomputers and stuff now, but really, the detail is just lost unless you're playing. Y'all need to slow your roll. Really.
Yes. Yes, because this is ridiculous.
We can't. The people can't see this business.
Mm-mm.
So, good gracious. I am excited about Medal of Honor, though.
I think a lot of people are excited about Medal of Honor. And with as much news that's been coming out about it, at least today and yesterday, I think two or three press releases that I came across already this morning for it.
I love me some Medal of Honor. Like deep, deep, mad, disgusting Medal of Honor love.
Wow. That's so hot.
As in, I want to have its babies Medal of Honor love.
You know, I'm always, always, always going to be an MMO girl. I can't help it. I don't get me wrong. I love me some shooters. I love killing me some people. But I will always be an MMO girl. Like, yesterday, I was playing the Rift Lite. If anybody hasn't heard yet, Rift now has a light version up to level 20. It's free. I'm going to cough. Anyways, and I was playing my first PvP match. I am level 12. The highest levels in there are level 19. I came out top DPS, top kills. Oh, it was so... Computer Ginger is on a killing spree. I was all afraid I was going to be rusty because I haven't played an MMO like that in a bit. I've been caught up with Second Life, so I'm trying to branch back out. And yeah, well, it's like first day in, let's play some PvP. I know I'm low level. I'm going to get slaughtered. Nope, top of the charts all the way around, baby.
She's not at all bragging.
Oh, I was totally bragging.
Oh, no, not you.
Because people were like, oh, there's a level 12 in here.
Oh, no, not you. You'd never do that. Never, ever.
No. No,
ever. Never, ever. Of course not.
Mm-mm. That's so nice.
All right. Week's probably just news.
Oh, I got news. You want news? Who do you want to go first?
I think you should go first.
All right. Anonymous. Yeah, I totally know. I just jumped shark. GamePolitics.com.
Yeah.
Anonymous News. Office conference to group in wake of FBI arrest. More in wake of getting butt-sexed from an informant. All right, so anyways. A Twitter account that serves as the news source of the hacking group Anonymous vows revenge against the FBI for 6 arrests it made of LulzSec and Anonymous members announced yesterday and offers tips on how to strike back. At Your Anon News also encouraged members of in that group, telling them not to be discouraged that top members had turned FBI informants. Who didn't see this coming, by the way?
Apparently they did.
Yesterday, Fox News reported the arrest, with the FBI later issuing a press release announcing the particulars. The Fox News story quoted an FBI official who characterized the operations against the group in the U.S. and U.K. as chopping off the head of the organization. Hi, FBI. I don't know how long y'all have been around or how well you are with the internet, but Anonymous is a head. Kind of one of those amoebas. They keep changing shapes. They're all over the place.
Isn't that what they told us when they were on a couple months ago?
Yes, exactly.
What did he describe as a hydra was the analogy that they used?
Yes.
Many heads.
An indictment that unsealed this morning accuses LulzSec and Anonymous and Wow, pills kicked in. Accuses LulzSec and Anonymous members of a deliberate campaign of online destruction, intimidation, and criminality. It listed attacks against various governments and businesses that led to data theft, loss of data, and the exposure of people's personal information online, called doxing. All right, Anonymous, I have to say, some of what y'all did, really crappy. I still think, you know, y'all do need to be spanked for what you did. So anyways, this morning, at Your Non-News tweeted, love all, trust few, do harm to none. Later in the day, proposed a black fax operator. The FBI provided a link and a phone number. Black fax operations are pranks that tie up fax machines and drain them of toner. The Twitter account also warned of another unnamed informant that may be working with the FBI described in the indictment. All right, so here's the deal, Anonymous. I know you all think you're anonymous, and especially you little kitties that get behind this think you're anonymous over the internet. You're not. So do not do this if you're not ready to face the repercussions.
The consequences and repercussions.
Yes.
Do you like the way I said that?
Yes, I like it.
The consequences and repercussions.
I do think it's kind of crappy that, you know, their head turned. But somebody had called it out a month or two back and said that they thought he had turned. So for the people who weren't listening, that's your own fault.
Yeah, you kind of had to see that coming, really.
Yes. Yes, yes. And this is why, if you're in one of these organizations, you never give up your information. You better do this from, like, McDonald's somewhere in a town next to you. Not that I'm giving you any ideas.
Well, yeah, we talked about yesterday. What was his name? Jorge? Child. Jorge.
Yes, yes. Don't be doing it from your government-funded housing.
That's what got me.
Your 2 kids, because you live in government-funded housing.
That's what got me, was he was in government housing, and you did it from the house. They already knew who you were and where you were.
No kidding. You were all, you're not even somebody like off the grid, off their radar. You were all over their radar. Man, how stupid do you have to be?
Whoa, boy. Okay, anyway, so if you were following our teasers, you probably heard us tell you that NCSoft and Unreal were dating now. Yes, it is official. Epic Games, Inc. and NCSoft have announced a major long-term licensing agreement to bring the award-winning Unreal Engine 3 to NCSoft's future titles, like we didn't see that coming. Orchestrated by Epic Games Korea, this engine licensing deal is the largest that Epic has ever signed in Asia. As one of the world's most successful game developers, NCSoft is responsible for legendary multiplayer online role-playing games, such as Lineage. One of the industry's most endearing sagas is its sequel, Lineage 2, and the critically acclaimed Aeon. Gotta sneeze. Thank you, Ginger, for the blessing
Thank
you're going to
you.
Give me. Thank you. Yeah. Through this new partnership, NCSoft will use the latest Unreal Engine 3 technology to develop its upcoming games, including the highly anticipated Blade and Soul. I hadn't heard about that, had you? Of course, this will also help.
I'm all like, no, I haven't heard about it.
Yeah, wow. This is supposed to further help NCSoft establish itself as a global leader in online game development and services. NCSoft previously licensed Unreal Engine 2 in 2001 for the prominent MMORPG Lineage 2. Hyung, you know, I'm sorry, I'm going to call you Mr. Kim, okay? Because that's your last name, who's the vice president of NCSoft, said, it has been very possible for us to harness all of our energy and put it toward the creativity of the games themselves by developing Lineage 2 and Blade and Soul with Unreal Engine. He says, I believe we can pull the most out of the engine through the know-how that is accumulated through our experience with this superior game engine. Equipping the brilliant creative minds at NCSoft with cutting-edge tools and features will bring even more visually stunning, high-quality entertainment to millions of players. That's from Mr. Ray Park, who is the territory manager of Epic Games Korea. Already having worked more than a decade with NCSoft, we look forward to continuing our close cooperation with them for many years to come. Again, if you're not familiar with Epic Games Korea, was established in 2009 and is a wholly owned and operated business unit inside of Seoul, Korea. I like how NCSoft, they'll grab that and do something completely different. Those of you who are still City of Heroes players will remember when they were the first MMO to add ragdoll physics to an MMO.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, there is nothing more satisfying than blasting the bad guy and seeing him fly and land off kind of crazy.
Yes.
Oh, that was.
Oh, my God, yes.
I used to just do stuff to them just to see how they were going to land. Maybe try to make them land in some crazy position, you know, up against the wall with their arm over their head. I was like, wait a minute, let me hit him again. Boom. So, yeah. But they were the first ones to do that. So I'm interested to see what they're going to do with putting Unreal Engine 3 in their game. It's going to be very nice. They come up with some new and interesting things. All right. I'm getting tweeted. I don't know who it's from or my phone's blowing up or whatever. If you're tweeting us.
They are all tweeting this morning. It is nuts. Crazy.
Good morning. Oh, you know what? I'm
Good
on the wrong
morning,
page.
Everybody.
I'm on the wrong, on my wrong tab. I'm not seeing some of the tweets on my phone. Ah, good morning to you. Our new security files. Okay.
Ooh.
Ginger, back to you. How's the weather on I-45?
Oh, it looks like broadband.
It looks like broadband? That's an interesting traffic pattern. Tell us about it.
Verizon launches wireless broadband home service.
Huh?
That's kind of cool.
Is it in Texas?
I don't know yet. Verizon Wireless announced the launch of a new wireless home broadband service geared towards rural areas. Rural areas that want something a little more powerful than DSL. The service is called Home Fusion and offers a wireless broadband via $200 cylindrical antenna, the labor is free, that is mounted on the outside of your house. While the speeds sound decent enough, 5 to 12 megabytes per second for downloads and 2 to 5 megabytes for uploads, Verizon's biggest barrier might be the data caps that's on the service. Ooh, I don't like data caps.
Oh, that's a bad word.
Mm-hmm. For around $60 a month, consumers can download around 10 gigabytes of data a month. With such a limit in place, a consumer could only be able to watch about 10 hours of HD video from a service such as Netflix. Imagine if you were a gamer and wanted to download the latest PC game. This data limit just doesn't work. Verizon will offer more robust plans, $90 for 20 gigabytes of data per month and 30 gigabytes for $120 per month.
Am I understanding that correctly? They're saying that's all you're going to get, or is that your speed?
That is all you're going to get before they start capping you, slowing down your rates.
That's not be cute is what it's not. Mm-hmm. It's not cute at all.
Going over the cap will cost you $10 per gigabyte. Yep. See, people, we're gamers, and I stream video and music and games, and I'm talking, I do it all at once. I'm not doing just one thing at a time. I can't imagine.
I don't even know what to say to that. Yeah, 20, we said gigabytes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the size of, like, some people's iPad. Why would you?
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to understand. I don't get it.
Yes, this is why I demand wherever I live, because I live out in the boonies, and the only reason why I'm okay with living out here is because I'm on the very end of the cable internet provider service right here. I actually have physical cable internet. because I do not do wireless internet. I've tried that before. I went with Clearwire years and years and years ago. Never again. Especially not trying to be a gamer, a competitive gamer. Just you can't.
I don't be understanding at all. I'm sorry. Keep saying that. Sometimes I, you know, that happens to me. I'm trying to wrap my head around visitors. It's just not.
Who use? You know what? Maybe if all you use is, you know, the internet to browse forums or something, that would work for you. And you're not downloading anything. You're not streaming TV. You're not streaming videos. Not streaming games, music, whatever.
I would think. Okay. I used to do tech support for a company that did internet for rural area. Then it does work if it's an older group of people, if it's a older community, because they tend not to use, and I'm not saying all of you, some of you out there are, you know, gamers just like we are and hardcore, but it works in a, you know, rural area where there's a lot of people who are not heavy computer users. Obviously, we are not going to be those people. This is bad. Okay, let me move along.
Somebody actually on that topic. There are older gamers out there, people, believe it or not. I met a guy yesterday, and whether or not he's lying, because you know it's an actual thing, swore up and down, he's 63, and he was playing Rift.
I can see that. I know some people that are that age that play them a little Rift.
Yeah. Oh, see, so many people think, oh, it's teenagers. No, no. Hell, I'm 30, and I'm playing Rift. Thank you.
Well, you know what? I had to remember I told you I gave a talk to the Girl Scouts this past week about internet safety, and a lot of the parents there were surprised for some reason. I don't know why people are surprised, but I told them, you know, you all are thinking that these games are made, you know, are for kids. So keep in mind, there are adults making these games just like there are adults making Disney movies, but those same people don't always make just Disney movies. You need to understand that. So they were very shocked. You know, I said, I told them the rating systems, your kids should not be playing anything that's rated M. Because none of them in here are adults. So the girls.
You mean it's not rated Minnie Mouse?
Yeah. So, and then I showed them how to download the ESRB app. So that was good. Of a lot of Girl Scout moms, so they were very excited. Now I got some juice straight from the overcross.
What you got?
Peter Molyneux has left Lionhead.
Ooh, why?
Peter has left Lionhead. I had to tweet first before I say it. Okay. So he left to join indie studio called 22 Cans. Wow. He just announced that he's leaving again. Microsoft now owns Lionhead Studios. He's been there for 15 years. He's joining an indie startup studio, again, called 22 Cans. He will also relinquish his post as the creative head of Microsoft Studios Europe. Yes. Now, he's saying he will continue to oversee the development of Fable, the journey as a creative consultant, but this will be his final project for the studio that he co-founded after leaving legendary studio Bullfrog, which is my favorite. You guys have heard me talk about Bullfrog. Bullfrog, of course, was bought out by EA in 1995, and then some of that cheekiness made its way into The Sims and so on and so forth. He did give a statement to our frenemies over at Kotaku, and he said, "It's with mixed emotions that I made the decision to leave Microsoft and Lionhead Studios, the company that I co-founded in 1997 at the conclusion of development of Fable, The Journey," he explained. He says, "I remain extremely passionate and proud of the people, products, and experiences that we've created from our Black and White to Fable to our pioneering work with Milo and Kate for the Kinect platform." And Milo became, I believe, we said Kinectimals kind of in a way.
Yeah. I was looking forward to Milo, but no.
It became, I was kind of disturbed by Milo. I told y'all that's how The Matrix and Skynet starts. He said, "However, I felt the time was right to pursue a new independent venture. He'd like to thank the team at Lionhead as well as the partners at Microsoft Studios for their support, dedication, and incredible work over the years." Later, the British developer revealed his role at the company 22 Cans, founded by ex-Lionhead tech Tim Rantz. He says, "I've left the lovely, amazing Microsoft and Lionhead now for something really amazing, scary, and a brave new company called 22 Cans. That's what he announced via his Twitter. Mark Weebly, who co-founded Lionhead with Molyneux, will take control of the Guildford-based studio. Microsoft wished the controversial figure well in his career, thanking him for his work." He says, "As co-founder of Lionhead and integral part of," "as co-founder of Lionhead and an integral part of Microsoft Studios, Peter was the creative visionary behind the blockbuster Fable franchise and one of our most passionate and influential developers for the Xbox 360 platform. He has made an indelible mark on the games industry, and we wish him all the best of luck in future endeavors. This news, of course, follows last week's announcement that several senior Lionhead figures, including those who founded Fable creator Big Blue Box before Microsoft bought it, were leaving the company to found a new studio called Another Place Productions. Multiple career includes overseeing several seminal and genre-defining titles, including, get this, you guys sit down, hands above desk, Populous, Theme Park, Black and White, and the Fable series. Everything this man has touched has gone major.
Wow.
Wow. And I haven't even scratched the surface. In a second here, I'm going to run down the list of things that he's made, and I've loved every single one of these games. A couple I never played or heard of, but most of them, yeah. He did express, they said he expressed previously some frustration at working on sequels and games which people think that they can predict, indicating a desire to return to indie development. He said, I would always prefer to work on something that's not a sequel. Molyneux said at last year's Game Lab event in Barcelona, at which a live demo of Fable The Journey was pulled by Microsoft. Molyneux replaced the demo with a history of his life's work. He says, very often with a sequel, you can get bound up in what's gone before. He says, I think Fable 3 suffered a bit from that, to be perfectly frank. Yeah, you did. He says, I don't like the idea that people know what to expect from Fable. He also expressed his disappointment at the lower-than-expected scores for Fable 3, saying that he was ashamed. That being said, he says, I still think it was a good game. I just don't think it was a great game that took us to 5 million units. I know I probably should say it's a great game, just respective of whatever it was, but the Metacritic score was sort of a low 80s, and you shouldn't count on Metacritic anyway. We all know how that goes.
Mm-hmm. True story.
Okay, so let me run you down some of the games that this guy's worked on. In 1984, before Bullfrog, just him by himself, did a game called The Entertainer. He did, when he got to Bullfrog, he did Fusion, Populous, Powermonger, Populous 2, Trials of the Olympian Gods, Syndicate, which is out again this year, Theme Park, which EA is putting out another one in a few years, I believe, Magic Carpet, High Octane, Gen Wars, and Dungeon Keeper. You guys remember that game? Out again this year. When it came to Lionhead, they did Black and White, Fable, Fable the Lost Chapters, The Movies, which is a game I still play often, Black and White 2, which I still play often. Movie Guns and Effects, 2006, which I still play often. Black and White 2, Battle of the Gods. Fable 2, Fable 3, and of course Milo and Kate, formerly known as Dimitri Project, that became, I think, Connectimals, and Fable The Journey is the last one. Every single game on that list, golden. He's like, got the Midas touch. And the fact that he gave Corey a drink once was very nice, too. I don't drink, but I took it because it was him handing it to me. You have to take the drink when it's Peter Molyneux handing it to you.
Yes, you do.
Would you like a drink? Yes, yes, sir, I would. Thank you. Yeah, get rid of this for me. I don't drink. Anyway, congratulations, Peter. I can't wait to see what he's going to do. I'm excited for him.
Yay, congratulations.
Although I hope after this, please, you guys at Microsoft, do not pull another Halo business inside. Let's make Fable 5. Don't do it.
No, no. No, 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 no.
Go with him. Let go.
I'm still so sad. I mean, I'm excited because it's Halo. It's coming up, but I'm so nervous.
You should be.
Oh, please don't ruin it. Please don't kill it for me.
It's too late. Run!
I know. I've already been so backstabbed at, like, the last two. So, yeah. All right, so. Oh, good God. China, you people over in China, what is wrong with you?
How about my tweet is all late? What's going on with people in China?
Who murdered over fake iPhone?
Oh, God.
Yeah. All right, so a man in the Zhengzhou Henan province. A man in the Zhengzhou Henan province of north central China spent $330 on a device that he thought was an Apple iPhone. Later, he realized that the phone was a fake and was furious. The man, identified in news reports only as Fing, was out for blood. He came across a man trying to sell the same fake phone to a young boy. At this point, he apparently lost all sense of self-control and pulled out a knife.
Wow.
Yeah, the gang reportedly scattered and got away from the man, but Fing was not done with the men. A few he encountered them again, and this time he managed to stab two of them.
Oh, my God. Okay, yeah. Wait a minute. So he stabbed the thieves?
Yes.
I don't know. I can't fault him for that, I got to say.
Yeah, Finn came across the same gang, and it is alleged a scuffle broke out during which he stabbed one of the crooks in the chest of a major artery in the right of another, in the right leg of another. The second victim died a day later due to excessive blood loss. The murders were captured by a street camera. Never do it where a camera is. When the iPhone 4S was released in China in January, the demand for it was so high that police had to be called in for crowd control. Obviously, the site didn't meet the demand. It's at these moments that crooks prey on those who have a strong desire to buy a product at just about any cause. Obviously, Fing was about, was one of those people. Who wrote this? what the con man couldn't have known is that Fing was also very unstable. What happens to him now is uncertain, but at the very least, he'll spend the rest of his life in prison. It's a sad story because two men have died, and one man will spend the rest of his life in prison or face a death sentence over $330. I'm all for beating the crap out of some people for this.
Yeah, I don't know.
But yeah.
Murder is never fun.
You know, bust their lip, break their nose.
Yeah, murder is not good. You want to be able to hold on to that frustrating anger for many moons to come.
Exactly.
You want to run into them on the street and watch them flinch in fear. That's what you do. Yes. You know, they see you and they know you a few times. They're like, oh, no, here he comes again or here she comes again. Never kill them. Beat the crap out of, yes, you live to fight another day. Okay. Yeah. I got a bunch of, okay, What you got? I got two, if you don't mind. We mentioned this last night, if you were listening to Pixinista, SimCity is back.
Yay!
Yeah. I don't even know where to start with it. I sounded so not excited last night when I told you about this. Okay, so they announced this actually last night, so we posted it up. Again, it won't be out until next year, but it's supposed to be a brand new entry in the franchise and is currently in development at Max's Emeryville. Did I say this last night? I think I did. And it was revealed today, or actually yesterday, during Game Changers at GDC, that it would be, they're ready to go again. They're saying, Scott Harrison, who's the CEO, and wait a minute, let me make sure I'm quoting the right people. I'm sorry, Lucy Bradshaw, who's senior vice president of EA Maxis label. And Lucy, you and I need to talk, okay, when I see you. Okay, so we'd like to thank the millions of fans who've helped make SimCity synonymous with the city-building genre. This is a franchise that means the world to us at Maxis, and we're very happy to be bringing it back home where we are reimagining it for an entirely new generation of players. She says, using our proprietary Glassbox engine, SimCity for PC will equip players with the tools to play the most sophisticated simulation of its kind. Since we are dedicated to making sure the experience, no matter the platform, has the fun, flavor, and playability that has been intrinsic to the franchise since its birth, SimCity is slated for release in calendar year 2013 for PC and is a true rebirth of the franchise that brings the depth of simulation that has been the series hallmark for more than two decades and marries it with next-gen accessibility and robust multiplayer mode, giving players the power to change a world together. Fans can catch their first glimpse of the rebirth of SimCity by viewing the extended trailer on SimCity.com. Did not give us a trailer. Ha! Mean EA.
Trailers? How rude.
You can also go ahead and pre-order SimCity right now if you're just like, I gotta have it. And you will receive the SimCity Heroes and Villains content featuring a battle between Maxis Men and the longtime nemesis Evil Dr. Vu. Oh, wow, they reach way back for that one. For more than two decades, the king of city-building simulators has sworn in millions of virtual mayors from around the world. With its return to 2013, SimCity will engage an entirely new generation. Why did they do this again? Take charge of their own customized cities and build a world that coexists alongside friends. For the first time in SimCity franchise history, players' decisions will have long-lasting repercussions that will extend beyond their city limits. So it'll be you and whoever else you're playing with. Together, players will address real global challenges such as climate change, the search for renewable resources, and natural disasters. It's up to the players to decide whether to compete or collaborate to shape the world of tomorrow for better or for worse. Again, it's going to be powered by the new Glassbox engine, which is made specifically by Maxis, proprietary engine. The simulator comes to life in a way never before possible. Everything you see in the world we send, Sims in the city will have jobs or can lose them, buy homes, be prosperous, or be an economic drain on the city. Yeah, yeah, I like this. I like the way this is sounding.
Yeah.
SimCity is the city builder in which every choice powers real change that affects the character of your city, the state of your region, and fellow players within the entire SimCity world. Original fans and newcomers alike will relish the opportunity to build visually and functionally unique cities that take on the character of their choices, combining fun, addictive gameplay elements with an interface that encourages anyone to jump in playing. SimCity will usher forth a new era of city building. I am so excited when I
can tell.
I am. This was one of the first games I started just really, really playing. Been a gamer since birth, but this one here, when I bought my first computer, it came with SimCity. And my girlfriend and I used to sit on the phone during the day when we had nothing to do, and we'd talk about what's going on in our city.
Aww.
Like, girl, my traffic is backed up. What's wrong with these people? I put in a freeway, and they just insist on going down this one road. It's, like, all congested, and it's all polluted right there. So, yeah, so this is, like, taking me back. And then when they released that social crap they released a few years ago, both Snow and I were both gagging. We were like, what the hell is this? What is going on over at Max's? Who made this crap? So if you guys can get us back to where it used to be and add in the multiplayer, that would be hot. Because then Snow and all of us, because we'll all play and compete to see if we can make it.
Yeah.
Of course, Ginger's going to beat us because, you know, her city is going to be like a metropolis in 2 hours. And I'll... I'll still be building my poor little rural town with my farmers and like Ginger. Ginger will be like, I need a place to export my trash to. You don't have lots of space. You don't need it.
Yeah, sorry, I would totally do that.
See. See? Y'all see how she
does it? Field. You're not even using.
See, not right. Not.
I know, but it's one of those things. I can't help it.
It's true, though. All right, what you got?
Oh, well, first I'm going to cough my head off. Maybe. God, I'm so tired of this. Alex.
Leroy Jenkins!
Hey! Someday! Holy shit.
Yeah, I thought I threw that in there. Everybody was waiting.
All right. So did we actually read the open letter from Anonymous to Cebu?
No. Please.
All right. Well, over on Digital Trends in the Yahoo section, new section of the media, they've got parts of this open letter, and they say, how does it feel to be a traitor?
Oh.
Uh-huh. After the arrest of 6 key members of the Lowell Security, LulzSec, people, thanks to the alleged help of team's leader, Hector Cebu Monsegur, the internet group Anonymous has decided to respond by hacking another security firm to post its open letter to the man who betrayed the hacking community. Anonymous elected to hijack the Spanish antivirus site Panda Security, which Anonymous claims helped law enforcement agencies track and arrest 25 hackers last month. At the top of the site, the hackers posted a small note to Cebu expressing intense bitterness at the situation. So what'd they say? Yeah, we know. Cebu snitched on us. As usually happens, FBI menaced him to take his sons away. We understand, but we were your family, too. Remember what you like to say?
Oh.
Sad, and we can't imagine how it feels having to look at the mirror each morning and see there the guy who shopped their friends to police. The parenthesis reference about family refers to how Cebu often called his fellow hackers brothers on Twitter. Yeah, probably not a good thing. Mm. Just hours before Anonymous defaced the site, Panda Security researcher Louis Kronz blogged about the Federal Bureau of Investigation's success in taking down several hackers with Cebu's help. Oh, see, you poked. Oh, you went and poked them. It's your fault.
Who poked who, girl? Because I'm like, it's a fight going on. I don't know where to look.
The Panda Security researcher poked Anonymous about the whole FBI thing.
That was not smart.
Yeah, he said, really good news. I've just read that LulzSec members have been arrested and that their main head, Cebu, has been working as an informant for the FBI. Uh-huh. He went on to suggest that Anonymous would now only be capable of taking down files rather than expose confidential data.
Oh my, that sounds like a challenge to me. That sounds like the gauntlet just hit the floor. Blam.
Anonymous did not take too kindly to this. So they took a site and took it over and wrote, lol, He asked for the lulz. Here it is. Here's the lulz.
Oh, they already did it.
Mm-hmm. Mm. PandaSecurity.com, better known for its block your little one's ears, block your boss's ears. It's shitty antivirus. We have backdoored. And has been, they have been earning money working with law enforcement to lurk and snitch on anonymous activists. Yep, we know about you. How does it feel to be the one spied on?
Oh. Oh, my goodness. This is juicy. Oh, Ginger, pop the popcorn. Oh, my God.
Exactly the way they got Sabu to turn. They threatened to take his two young sons away. But he still faces, oh, my God, I'm not even happy about this, maximum sentence of 124 years and 6 months in prison. All right, so you hack a website. You go to prison 124 years. You kill somebody, you molest somebody, you rape somebody, you do something horrible.
You out
in a few months. Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I was watching a documentary on, I believe it was the E! Channel, one of those on Saturday, and there's a whole community of men that live, you know, obviously they can't live in neighborhoods, you know, near children, but they're out free and walking, and you know, of pedophiles, child molesters, rapists. They live all together. And, again, I'm all for giving people a second chance. That's not where I'm going with this. But I'm finding it funny, like you said, that these men were in, some of them, 5, 10, 2, 3 years. They've killed, raped, murdered children. But they're out free to go. But somebody who hacks a website, oh, you got to, you know, we're going to put you underneath the jail. You're not coming out ever.
Our country, our laws, our priorities are so ass backwards.
Yes, yes, this is exactly...
Disgusting.
It is very disgusting, extremely disgusting, that and as gamers and our community, I know we, you know, we don't agree with a lot of stuff Anonymous does. I like watching the fighting that's going on between them and the government, but... Mm-hmm.
I would love to be able to go up in front of these people who are making these decisions and talk to them and tell them, look, this is ridiculous. Coming from a child who grew up in this crap?
Yeah, they, you know,
as an adult
say,
watching this going on?
You know
what this is ridiculous.
You already know what they're going to say. Well, it's, you know, the laws are this is just the way the law is. You need to change the law because this right here. You know honestly, okay, depending on what was done. I don't agree with Anonymous sometimes exposing information because some of those people it's a job for them. Necessarily there, or nor do they agree with the policies in place. So I don't agree with them exposing information. But honestly, I think the worst that should happen to them, you know, maybe a year or two in jail and then house arrest. Because I don't necessarily consider it that kind of crime where it was violent against hurting. You know, it hurt somebody to the core. You know, their life is completely forever changed. Honestly, your data gets leaked to the internet. It's not great, but it's not the worst thing that can happen to you. I'm willing to bet if you tell those people, okay, look, I'm going to put all your personal information up on the internet where everybody can see, or I'm going to cut your face. Which one would you like?
Yes.
So our government, you need to get your priorities straight, really. All right. GDC is going on right now. Obviously,
yay!
We're not there.
I wish we were.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't. San Francisco smog is not too bad, I hear. But there's a lot of good things going on in GDC, and we often not cover because we're still trying to get our right. I just noticed something, Ginger. All of our news stories are only posting the taglines. None of the stories are posting. And somebody was trying to tell me something like that earlier in the week, but I just looked and went, oh, that's what they were talking about. So thank you for the heads-up person that told us they're not seeing all of our news, just select stories that the site decides to show them. And we apologize, but we are updating so that we may better serve you. But anyway, going on at GDC, Google Plus, who earlier in the week was saying they don't see the big deal about games, if I'm not mistaken. Wasn't that them? That says, you know, games are not everything, are now saying that games are everything. It's an essential part of Google+. It's from Puneet Soni, who's the head of the games and mobile division, told the audience at GDC that games are an essential factor in the growth and evolution of Google+. Given his position, of course, he's likely to express some professional bias, but he's obviously also kept a close eye on Facebook's gaming community as well as the revenue that it manages to generate. According to GamesIndustry.biz, in his presentation at GDC last night during which Facebook was treated as a four-letter word, Sony stressed that building relationships with games developers is a major part of Google's growth strategy. However, that's not just because games directly attract users.
Google also hopes to learn lessons about community building from developers. He says, we realized very early on that the developers are key partners. We need to learn from you guys and build a very compelling social platform. Sony also indicated that he sees convergence across Google's many platforms and properties as inevitable, aiming to unify browser, social network, and mobile screens. He said games are key to the success of Google+. Next year, we won't be talking about Google+ games, Chrome games, games for native client, or Android games. We'll just be talking about Google games. We'll see about that.
We will see.
Now, yeah, that was now this was in complete opposition to what they said a couple of weeks ago, where they said games can ruin online communities. This is
okay. What? Games can ruin online communities.
Yes. So they are completely backpedaling at GDC by saying this. Completely. They gave a presentation at the Social Apps Conference in San Francisco. This was on February the 10th. And the engineering director, David Glazer, said that, that games can ruin online communities. I'm taking it out of context, of course. He said, you know, communities can be ruined by games. So they're trying to study and make sure that they get it right. They said they see where Facebook went wrong. But still, you know, it looks bad.
It does look bad.
It looks bad.
Wow.
Hey,
so what do we got? The Ridge Racer Legacy of Furious Driving Music. Oh, wait, no, that's just about music. I lied. Never mind. Dragonborn closed beta launch in March. All right. It's been confirmed that the browser-based action MMORPG Dragonborn is slated for a March 2012 launch, a fantasy saga that is prefaced by an epic war between dragons and demons. Dragonborn combines the quality of traditional client MMOs with the flexibility of browser-based gaming. Aside from Dragonborn's lush graphics, we hope the screenshots will do justice, they say. By the way, there's screenshots, gamingagix.com. Go check it out. I don't want to read that crap. That's boring. Of mounts and evolution, our class-specific mounts come with an evolution system. Change your mount's outlook and add to its arsenal of abilities. Mounts can be evolved for both aesthetic and practical attributes. Ride across the lands and engage on mounted combat. I like that. Be it the Azure Forest Tiger or the Armored Drake, you'll be spoilt for choice. Epic gear. Really? All right, so Dragonborn features hundreds of class gear to mix and match from, building a min-max character. You have an inexplicable obsession for pretty colors. Oh, good God. I swear, God. No pink armor. Stop it. Fear not. There's more where that purple stuff came from. Scour for epic gear in dungeons and fulfill your pursuit for that elusive dragon slayer blade. Bloodlines. No, not the vampires. The dragon bloodline system lets you spend potential points to upgrade various bloodlines. When a bloodline is fully upgraded, its level will increase and you'll gain the relevant attribute bonus. Yay! More dungeons, daily events, oh, and legions, which are much like guilds, apparently. All right, so anyways, this is Dragonborn, and I've got the links up on gamenatrix.com this morning. Oh, good Lord, energy pills, stop it!
Well, the fight is not over. If you're a winner, you may say Samsung and Apple are still at it. That's right. Samsung with some purposeful timing right before the iPad launch event, which is taking place later today. If we find out anything interesting, we'll let you know. Apples were good. They actually call you back individually. When we call them to ask them about stories, they actually call you back one at a time. I thought it was interesting, instead of having a conference call. But anyway, they filed a lawsuit against Apple in South Korea court over the iPhone 4S and the iPad 2. The Korean company filed suit against Apple on yesterday, saying that Apple devices have infringed on three of its patents. Reuters reports that the suit covers three utility patents and involves method of displaying data, the user interface, and short text messages. Apple first sued Samsung last year over slavishly copying the iPhone and iPad's design in the Galaxy Tab and Galaxy S Android devices. Samsung said, boo! And since the two companies have been engaged in a endless, evil, city-crushing battle
with 30
city crushing.
Let me just tell you, city crushing. 30 cases in 10 countries, including Australia and Germany. Samsung certainly knew what it was doing by filing its latest lawsuit against Apple yesterday, but the move was more likely a symbolic gesture, as Samsung hasn't had the best track record in its litigation against Apple so far. All of Samsung's adjudicated claims against Apple were dismissed. False patents have also pointed out, and it hasn't been able to fight off all of Apple's claims against it. False patent Florian Mueller states that Samsung desperately needs to win some of its cases, otherwise its patent portfolio will seem weakened. Mueller also points out that it would be suspect if Samsung ends up winning this latest claim in its home country. Can y'all just stop it?
No, dinger more. Dinger more.
No, I'm talking about them. I'm talking about Apple and Samsung. It's like, stop it. God. They're cheering on Twitter. Go Samsung beat Apple. We love us a good fight, but this is getting boring. You're not even winning anything. Nobody's getting any black eyes. There's no clothes being ripped. There's no mud. Just give it up. Move on to something else.
No mud?
There's no mud.
We need some mud.
Yeah, mud must be had if you're going to have this kind of fight.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Mm-hmm. All right, what have we got? Is it all open? Oh, good Lord, why are you not opening? Open.
Well, I could do one. I could do another.
All right, well, go ahead, because I'm having issues. I'm trying to get it open, and it's just being...
Well, I must do this one because we have a former Gaminatrix GGR at Big Fish, so I always try to report their news, give them some love. Big Fish, of course, is one of the biggest social publishers so far, has announced another acquisition, this time with Self-Aware Games. Yay. The smaller studio is well known for casino-type games on a variety of platforms. Wait a minute. Oh, GI.biz is recording that Big Fish is saying that they will maintain the 25-person team for Self-Aware Games, so nobody's getting fired. They will remain in their home city of Oakland in California. Big Fish also reported a resounding 2011 growing reported is that in 2011 they had a growth of 30% overall this year. That brings Big Fish to 9 consecutive years of record revenues. Congratulations, Big Fish. They're saying, we are delighted to integrate one of the most talented mobile social game development teams into Big Fish and to extend our mainstream consumer reach to include the booming market of casino games. Now, I don't know about the casino games. That's from Paul Thalen, who's the founder and chief strategy officer at Big Fish Games. He said, we look forward to delighting the enormous audience on Facebook with the Card Ace Casino experience.
Yay!
We are incredibly excited to be part of the Big Fish culture and team, said Colin Liotta, who's a co-founder and lead technologist. I'm having issues today. Of Self-Aware Games
today.
Big Fish, shoo. Big Fish has everything we're looking for in a partner: an outstanding positive corporate culture, extensive analytics infrastructure, and an established 10-year track record of building trusted and enduring relationships with hundreds of developers all over the world. He says they really got it. With respect to our vision here at Self-Aware, they are the perfect partner to supercharge our growth across all platforms. That's from Seppo Heleva. Congratulations, guys. I can't say I'll be getting in with the casino games because they annoy me. Got to be in a real casino, sorry. But congratulations. I'm very proud of our alum over at Big Fish Games. We're very proud of you.
Mm-hmm. We are. Very, 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 very.
And I do believe, ladies, he's another single, tall, blonde guy.
Ooh. How you doing?
I'm trying not to say his name because he might not be single anymore. Get in trouble. I'll be getting an email later. Corey? I'm feed for you. Oh, my God! I got to do this one. Just don't cut me. I owe you from yesterday anyway. Okay, look here. Remember we were talking about the Zynga platform last week?
Yeah.
It's ready to go.
Yay!
Zynga.com is ready to go, all live and stuff.
Awesome.
That's all I wanted to say.
Okay, good. I'm going to get stabbed. Iz launches a new social game, Adventure Park, in Facebook. Yay! Visiting theme parks is among the most popular leisure activities across the globe, apparently.
Uh-oh.
All right, so in the social game Adventure Park, the player can play the role of the managing director of a new and exciting theme park that has just opened its doors and invites visitors to enjoy an unforgettable day in its installations.
I can?
Uh-huh. The player will, this is Adventure Park on Facebook.
Oh.
Yeah, the player will be able to run this business managing all necessary elements for the guests to have a great time in the theme park. This includes building thrilling roller coasters, selecting entertaining shows, and scheduling amazing events in the streets.
Facebook.com.
Uh-huh. In addition, what about she?
Mm-hmm.
We'll also be able to choose among different areas, such as science fiction, cinema, or history, to build in the theme park. The gamer can then give his personal touch to the
theme. Go ahead and change that to her.
Because different elements to choose from.
What's the name of it? What's the name of it?
It is Adventure Park and Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Hey. All right. So, of course, you know, you can share feedback with your friends. Da-da-da-da-da. It's got all that fun stuff. I'm just really kind of ticked off. You know, apparently a boy can play.
I'm sorry. You said something?
Are you already playing?
You already know. I'm already at the allow or skip screen. You said manage and stuff like that. You know I love me some simulators. Mm-hmm. That's my favorite genre. It better be good. Oh, they made TV Studio Boss. Oh, y'all know I love me some TV Studio Boss. Oh, man. I have tried to stay away from that one. I got a bunch of you hooked, including the guys over at Gamer Focus. I got all them hooked on TV Studio Boss, and they were mad at me for weeks. Okay. Girl, I froze my screen up. How about that?
Well, that's nice. I guess I can pull up another one. I was already going there, too. All right. What have we got? GamePolitics.com, Mac versus PC. Who has the coolest demographic? PC, of course. Screw you, Mac. All right. Mm-hmm. Hipsters. Taken with a grain of salt. Difference, a study from data-driven review site Bundle that found that Mac users were cooler than PC users is kind of amusing. Liars! Their conclusion, based on an analysis of the spending habits of 700,000 PC and Mac buyers, is that Mac users were more fashion-forward and style-conscious than PC users.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Bundle examined which stores computers users tend to favor and found that PC users preferred stores like Old Navy, Van Heusen, and Columbia Sportswear. Mac users shopped at stores such as Jimmy Choo, Coach, and Last Call. Bundle also found that 40% of Mac users that they examined earned more than $100,000, while only 29% of PC users earned as much. Mac users were also younger than most PC users. You know what? Screw you, Mac. My PC. Me and Windows forever. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Better or worse, baby.
Oh, Security Files wants to know when the Ghost Recon beta will hit Xbox. You know, I don't know. And I know y'all are always surprised to hear that. Do you guys have any idea how many games come out during the day?
We
tell you about a section of them here, but wow, the mailbox is full. I'm going to say upwards of 200 emails we get a day about people with their games, mm-hmm. So it is hard to keep up. If you would like to come and work with us, you let us know after we've gotten done upgrading, that is. You let us know because, yeah, we are overrun. All right. My page is unfrozen because I had to close Facebook because I was about to get lost in the whole, y'all about to lose me. Been like, I don't know what's going on news-wise. I don't know.
Well, all right. I've got it pulled up and open. I'm just waiting. We've got 7 minutes until I can start playing.
You are not right. She is not right. Y'all hear how she's really?
Mm-hmm.
See? You see? Do you see?
I got to run my park. I can't help it.
Wow.
I got to get to, like, a level 10, like, in the
Yeah, while I'm gone. And then when I come back, she'll be like, I went to level 10. And what happens is they have some, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, some interesting stuff going on over at PSN. New digital head Jack Busser puts self-publishing and new business models at the center of his future strategy. The new head of Sony's PlayStation Digital Platforms division claims that Sony can compete with Xbox Live, Steam, and other digital services by offering developers greater freedom. He spoke to, speaking to Eurogamer at GDC, Busser cited that the ecosystem of devices that support the PlayStation Network as a key strength. He said PlayStation 3, the PlayStation Vita, and an array of non-Sony devices through PlayStation Suite. While Busser didn't name any specific companies, his consistent references to the closed control
major online platforms seems to be allusions to Xbox Live's arcade, which we also mentioned yesterday may be going the way of the dinosaur. He says it was a superior service by general consensus, but one that has been criticized quite a bit by independent developers. He claims that Sony will really open up a lot of its policies compared to competing services, with a particular emphasis on making self-publishing as simple as possible. He says, I think one of the most significant things we do on PSN that isn't really talked about a lot in the consumer press is that the notion that game developers, specifically independent game developers, are able to publish their own games, he said. If you look at some of our competition, they actually force indie developers to go and find big publishers that eat into the money that they would otherwise make, which seems crazy to us. If someone wants to make a great game and publish it themselves, then we let them do it. This also extends to new business models, as evidence created by CCP Games with their forthcoming Dust Shooter 514, which is going to be free to play. Yes, we're free.
We love us some free.
Right. So this notion that you have this amazing experience that's totally free to play, it's such a huge innovation that is really only possible on PlayStation Network, which is probably why they're doing it there. He says if you look at some of our other competitors in this space, there's no free anywhere. Forget free-to-play, because you're paying just to get on the network. With PSN, you're able to do full-on free-to-play models, which is why you see games like Dust, 514 exclusive to PSN. I say go, boy, go, Jack, go.
Yes.
That was a swing and a connect right there. He is dead on. Ah, that's what you should do. You need to make it so that you have some more exclusive titles. On one hand, I love all the, you know, we're crossing over, all the, you know, games are on every platform. But at the same time, you need to keep your exclusive titles. I think the biggest mistake Sony made was letting GTA 4 go. You should have done whatever it takes to keep Rockstar on the PlayStation only. Mm-hmm. But just thank you, because, yeah, I could play it on my Xbox.
Yes. All right. So we have 4 minutes left. Do we have time for another
4 minutes to save the world. Do it, Ginger.
Yay! What have I got? Have we already read about the Mass Effect 3 ending, Tide?
No, I don't believe we did. Do share.
All right, so GamePolitics.com, Mass Effect 3's ending tied to forced multiplayer participation. Ooh, people aren't going to like that. According to PC Gamer, you'll get a pretty lousy ending if you don't play multiplayer in Mass Effect 3.
Oh.
Yeah, apparently BioWare decided that the best way to encourage co-op play in the game was to tie to the single-player ending. As the player engages in a war with the Reapers, he or she earns what the game calls war assets and readiness. You accumulate these war assets the most prominent are the decisions you made in the previous games and the ones you make in this one. Basically, war assets are the people and armies who help you earn. PC Gamer has a bit more detail on the complexities. Some have suggested that BioWare did this because of piracy, in that pirated versions of games don't tend to use online play at all, because users are easily identified as having and using it a pirated version of the game. Some pirated releases often strip out or disable multiplayer altogether. All right, so what did PC Gamer's Tom Francis have to say? He says, I did every proper quest I could find in Mass Effect 3, made sensible decisions that didn't conflict with my choices in the previous games, and brought people together, but I still got a gallingly bleak ending. That's because I'd never played the multiplayer. It's a co-op mode where you and up to 3 other players have to survive waves of AI enemies and complete objectives. If you succeed, you get right. If not,
well, that's
you get a crappy ending.
Yeah, that's what they were saying yesterday. What you do in your co-op and offline is going to affect your end game. I kind of like the concept, but you know, I get to be antisocial.
People just don't like to play with others.
I like to play with others, but not all the time. Sometimes I just want to be by myself. I don't feel like talking. I just want to shoot my things and go about my business. All right, guys, that's going to do it for us today. We'll see
you
bright and early tomorrow, Lunch with Ginger and Corey. And also tomorrow night, we do our Thursday night show when we do our big expose on one particular website we discovered that is using other people's reviews and not writing their own.
Yay! I can't wait to go off on those tools.
Also, we have a special guest sitting in with us, Mr. Steven Spawn. I might say his name wrong. from ablegamers.com. So he'll be sitting in with us and be interesting to hear what he's got to say, too. It'll be good fun. We're all crazy. So see you guys tomorrow. Gator Boys and Girls. Mm.